Blog Talk Radio.
Sidekick Publications is the newest place for all your martial arts informational needs. My Karate, Introduction to American Wadaru, Martial Arts Guide to Success, History of Japanese Martial Arts, Taizanru Taiho Jitsu, and the new Martial Directory. With martial art master instructors like Michael DePasquale Jr., Joe Miller, Alan Woodman, and many more. Everything for martial arts enthusiasts, techniques, shiatsu, history, all in one place. Available at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble's, and bookstores near you. Also available on digital downloads for Kindle and ebook readers. Visit our website at www.sidekickpublication.com and order your books today. Remember, Sidekick Publications, all the action you can read.
And I think that our viewers would be interested in hearing about those early days of martial arts when people in the United States didn't know that much about it.
I showed up in 1958, and he started the dojo in 57 after he came back from Okinawa.
How long was he? He was in Okinawa for 1 or 2 years.
I think he was in Okinawa for, he had to be in Okinawa for 18 months. That was a tour of duty at that time with the Marine Corps. You didn't go sooner, you didn't go later. The Marine Corps was strict about that. And he came back after having done very well in Okinawa. In fact, I think Tatsuo Shimabuku put Sensei Nagel, I'm not going to say he used him, but he put him to use, settling some disagreements that he was having at the time, because when Tatsuo Shimabuku one of the first things he did was to get rid of the twist punch. And some other things that he did within our style to make it a more adaptable and easier to use style. That created some disagreements with his fellow senseis, even to the point of his brother, and he having serious arguments about it. What he did then was so much to cope them, but to allow Sensei Nagel to go to the other dojos and ask to compete against their people. And with Mr. Nagel's ability and skill, even as a white belt, let me just say something. Over the years, I've been asked how Sensei Nagel did the things he did on a deck, which were almost miraculous, some of the moves and techniques. It's my belief he was just God meant him to go to Okinawa and study Ishinru Karate. And he was so natural that with just several months training, he knew it, he felt Ishinru, and it worked from him. It was like a cat in a jungle that was that spotted a prey and did what came naturally. And I was often a victim of that, so I know what it was like. He walked into those dojos and wreaked havoc amongst the students in the other dojos. And finally, before he left Okinawa, he was still a white belt. And he won the championships in Okinawa, which got some fame in the Karate Kid movies. But that was unheard of, especially an American coming over and doing a thing like that. And that was the final nail that Tatsuo Shimabuku wanted to put in everyone's coffin, I think. And it made Ishinru, it established Ishinru as a solid style that gave it its enormous popularity over the years in the United States. When I met him in 1958, Sensei Nagel was only an 18 or a 19-year-old PFC or corporal. Corporal he was. I don't want to take a rank away from him. And there were very few officers in Marine officers in the dojo. The entire dojo was made up of Marines. from Camp Lejeune in North Carolina. And we went, we attended the school 5 days a week, five evenings, for supposedly 2 hours a night.
Which is good, because the student who trains in today's dojo, they come for a one-hour class,
right.
one-and-a-half-hour class, twice a week.
That's right.
And they want to know how come in the past you got your black belt in two or 3 years, and it's taking them longer.
I was interviewed by Karate Illustrated magazine, and they did a cover on me in a story in the 60s. And that's one of the, he said, bro, you know, black belt in 9 months. And that was the fastest the nation wrote at that time. I don't know if anybody's done it quicker. I think it would be very difficult under today's circumstances. But it was 5 hours a day. Usually you did your school work, and then we did what we were told. Sensei Nagel told us to practice on our own. So I would spend 2 or 3 hours every day either kicking tires, Marine Corps base on the trucks, or throwing roundhouse kicks at tanks or whatever presented itself as a target. So I worked out about 5 hours a day, and that was 7 days a week. We swore to God that we, or more likely to our wives, that we were going to take Easter Sunday off 1 year, and everybody happened to show up at my house, just happened to have their gi in it. And I had some shots of us on my lawn on Easter Sunday fighting each other. But what you did then, they didn't have the tournaments, for instance, like Sensei Adler's tournament. Those didn't exist. Trophies didn't exist. Letters of appreciation didn't exist. Nothing existed. You had no equipment in those days. Many of the old shots that you'll, if you look at the old shots, the gis just barely reach below our knees because we were getting all this stuff from Okinawa.
High water pants.
Yeah, the high water pants. So it looked like we were wearing pedal pushes.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no equipment to mouthpieces or headgear or anything. And you didn't really pull the punch the way we do nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you'd be injured and you just fought through it, and you kept on in the match because you wanted to win.
Mm-hmm.
And we had Marines are highly competitive as it is. So when you're on the deck and you've got Sensei Nagel and Sensei Ernie Cates, who was the judo instructor at the time in that dojo, watching you, you're fighting to win your match. I had in that dojo were not only Sensei Nagel and Sensei Kate, but also Don Bohan and Lou Lazat and Rick Namira and Chapman. And Namira was a and Ralph Bove also. And Bove and Namira were fearsome people. I was 6 foot tall and about 155 pounds at the time, pretty much as I am now. In those days, it was solid muscle, which it may not be now. When I had to fight them, it was you could almost see my heart pound inside my gi because if they caught you with what they were throwing, you were going down and you were going to be injured.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, I had spent a lifetime avoiding being hit in the streets in Brooklyn, Queens, and so.
Isn't that really a fundamental teaching in Ichinu Karate? Is the angles and not being hit anyway?
Yeah.
Not to take that point.
Right. I was taught by Sensei Nagel that the three principles were balance, speed, and your ki or your focus. And we attain focus, and I still teach the exact same way. We attain focus by having a beginner student not only snap his punch back, but to snap it all the way back to here, not like a foot, so that he learned that that had to be the reaction. In at 60 or 70 miles an hour, back at 100 miles an hour. Now,
before you go on, we really
yeah, it's embarrassing.
You didn't punch somebody with that hand.
No. But it does bring back memories. I was responsible for breaking, for Sensei Nagel breaking, pushing his two knuckles back into the middle of his hand and having to wear a cast for over a month. He was breaking a whole set of bricks, a pile of bricks, I don't know how many, but he was concentrating because the key in Ishinru is to snap, touch, and away, leaving the power of your body and the key to flow through the bricks. And just as he was throwing the punch that he had finally focused on, I said, "Sensei, there's a phone call for you." And his hand just smashed into the bricks. And so he had a cast on for a month, and everyone in the dojo hated me because we were being hit with the cast. He had the cast changed, I don't know, maybe 12 times from each time he hit one of us, the cast would fall apart. And it was really horrible. And we were going to church just to pray that they would take the cast off his arm, so he'd only hit us with his knuckle. And that's, I guess, one of the points I want to bring across. You hit people and you drop them, and that's how you won the match. It was refereeing was very easy. There was no meeting. You didn't have to have a meeting before anyone fought to decide what the rules and regulations were, because there were no rules. Your opponent either went down and couldn't get back up, or he quit. And in the Marine Corps dojo, nobody quit. So it was tough out there. And at South Page, Long Island, and I had a rather large class, maybe 35 people. And I had them all my students were tuned. Sensei Bohan's coming, my buddy coming back from Vietnam. And we were so close, Bohan and I, we called each other brother. And of course, you have to remember this was the 60s. And we called each other brother. And he came back to my home before he went anywhere else, stayed with me for 2 weeks when he came back from Vietnam. And so I brought him over to my dojo. And he was showing a technique in kata, and bunkai in kata. And during this move he made, he broke his ankle, because we had a mat, and in one area the mat was loose, and his ankle snapped. And when I went over and examined it, it was absolutely easy to see that he had broken one or several bones. And so I apologized to him, and then I apologized to the class, because this would be the end of class. I had to get Mr. Bohan to a hospital, and then Mr. Bohan said, "No, you don't. Just step back. I promised everybody I'd fight the class, and that's what I'm going to do." And this is what made it so difficult fighting Bohan. Bohan would have bullet holes in him and not understand that something should be done about the injuries. And he fought my class, and they all regretted that he hadn't gone to the hospital afterwards, because when we went to the hospital, there were more of us than Bohan. Actually, that night he didn't go to the hospital, and the following day he went in to Queens and got his son, his own son, who was a little boy at the time, and we drove up to Rye, New York, to the Playland, Rye Playland. And he was in full uniform. He was a gunnery sergeant in the United States Marine Corps. And he walked around Rye Playland with no cast, with nothing on that ankle, other than his uniform, sock, and shoe. And we were there for a good 4 hours. Never complained. He went on all the rides with his son, and then we took him off to the hospital, where they patched his leg up. But that was the spirit of that dojo. And at the beginning, you were asking me what it was like, and that's part of what I'm going to put in my book. It was a in comparison to many of the dojos that I've been in since that time, especially the new dojos. I know that your teacher is Nick Adler. I was Nick Adler's teacher, and Nick also studied with Sensei Nagel for a time. And between myself and Sensei Nagel, Nick got that spirit, and he taught it to you, Marilyn. So you may run your dojo exactly the way we did. I know with insurance and everything, you can't, you're not allowed to have blood on the wall.
I've been stopped when someone came and watched my class and asked me if I was in the military. I've never been in the military.
That's a good sign.
Yes, because obviously that type of training that comes down through the military has filtered down to that point.
That's a good sign. The way we set up the dojo was a military fashion, but it was also the way Tatsuo Shunbuku taught on Okinawa, and he was teaching Marines.
Wasn't he more informal in his teaching than that? It wasn't a structured class.
Oh yeah, no. He first of all, and I know you do understand, but some of the audience may not. In those days, from what I understand, they normally did not teach big classes. They were either solitary students with them, individual classes, or just a few close-kept students. So there was no need for structuring the class or having an organized repetition, etc. But we put that in, I think, knowing the American mind, that you have to have a plan, and you have to have a class structure to it. And I think in teaching the basics, and then teaching all the basic kicks, and doing that in a repetitive manner, gives the students something to take home with them so that they can now practice at home. And that's something that I get disappointed in now. Many students, you will teach them, you give them a great class, everybody is, the sweat's running off everybody, and they all feel terrific, and they look good. And then they'll get a three-day holiday, and they come back, and it looks as though they've never taken any karate. And I say, well, what did you do at home? Oh, I didn't do anything at home. Or they'll tell you they did, but you know it never happened, that they don't practice at home. And as you mentioned, Marilyn, before, I worked out, as I said, 5 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that's how I got to be where I was. Working out 1 hour or half an hour twice a week or 1 hour twice a week, it doesn't do it if you don't back it up with practice at home. And Mel Sutphin was the first black belt that I had, and Mel came out of that dojo. And Mel was built a lot like I was at the time, tall, kind of skinny kid. He was a paratrooper, so I knew he would he'd go all the way with whatever we did, former paratrooper. And he and I, he learned fighting because he tried to emulate the way I fought. And I may have been the only one in the dojo in North Carolina that did the same with Nagel, because we had that same little light body. I call it bird bones, where you couldn't afford even to block hard. You had to just get out of the way and then strike when, as the Ishinru code tells you, strike when the opportunity presents itself. And that was one of the most important parts of Ishinru that I took to heart. Don't go in after somebody and try to mix it with them so you create an opportunity. And Mel Sutphin was a chip off the Nagel block. He took it hard, he fought hard, and won a lot of matches for me. And became a close associate, by the way, with Mr. Adler, Nick Adler. And the two of them used to knock pieces off each other all the time, and they became buddies as a result of that.
This is the very last second I spent as a brown belt. I had just fought 21 of the other students in the dojo at the time. This is in the North Carolina dojo, and I'm fighting Sensei Nagel, and this is for my black belt, my Shodan papers. And I had just finished fighting Mr. Chapman and Mr. Namir and Mr. Lazat and Bo Hand and Bove and the rest of them that were terrors of the dojo. And right after the second, as you can see, I'm going after Sensei Nagel. I was about to throw a punch and a kick at the same time, and they're in process, and Sensei is standing still. And a moment after this shot was taken, Sensei Nagel broke my nose, having blocked both my punch and my kick. And just to show me who was who. There were no hard feelings as a result of the broken nose. 42 years afterwards, the two of us, we're probably still up to a fight, but I'm not sure it would have been the match we did in 1957. And he was, as it turned out, we were best buddies. He was the best friend I had, and I miss him very much. This picture was taken by Charles Pfizer Chemical Company, the Aleming Packrin Division, for the High Karate After Shave Lotion promotion. And this picture appeared on the gift box, and my hands were on the bottles.
How did they select you for this?
Somebody saw me working out in the dojo, and we had a conversation, and I said, do you know how to do a jump kick, a side jump kick? And I said, gee, I think I can muster a side jump kick. What I didn't know is that I would wind up doing over 60 side jump kicks for the photographer to get it correctly, or get it the way his soul told him he should have the picture. And about the 60th kick, I told him that if he didn't get the next kick, I would aim at a different target on my next jump. And so this is the picture that that he got out of that kick. Bizzotto on the to the left hand side of the picture. Pulse Bizzotto was one of my brown belts at that time, and was also fighting in the New York Championship or World Championship, Gary Alexander's tournament. This would be in the 60s, mid 60s. And Paul was a fearsome fighter, and never knew when to stop, never knew when he was hurt. I tell a funny story about Paul from the dojo. I invited Gary Alexander over as a guest one time, and Paul didn't feel that my students were fighting Gary hard enough, which showed a lot of good sense on their part. Paul got up and took his turn, and Gary caught Paul because of the attack Paul started on him. Gary caught Paul right in the throat with a punch, and ended.
Sidekick Publications is the newest place for all your martial arts informational needs. My Karate, Introduction to American Wataru, Martial Arts Guide to Success, History of Japanese Martial Arts, Taizanru Taiho Jitsu, and the new Martial Directory. With martial art master instructors like Michael DePasquale Jr., Joe Miller, Alan Woodman, and many more. Everything for martial arts enthusiasts, techniques, shiatsu, history, all in one place. Available at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble's, and bookstores near you. Also available on digital downloads for Kindle and ebook readers. Visit our website at www.sidekickpublication.com and order your books today. Remember, Sidekick Publications, all the action you can read.